This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. New light is shed on the Dark Age archaeology of Cyprus. A new row erupts at the proposed quarry site near Thornborough Henges. The oldest scene of large-scale warfare is found in Syria. While in Iran, a 5,000-year-old twin's grave is unearthed in the burnt city. Several finds are unearthed on an Irish motorway route. And sadly, vandals have painted a swastika on a Bronze Age standing stone in England. A rare Iron Age temple is discovered in Iran, and genetic testing shows how ancient humans brought bottle gourds to the Americas from Asia. Studies on skulls also raise questions on the first Americans. And work on a rampart closes a famous Iron Age fort in England. A bracelet and sickle made of stone are amongst recent archaeological finds that may shed light on the Dark Age of Cyprus archaeology, between the earliest evidence of human presence on the island at 10,000 BCE and the appearance of the first villages from around 8,200 BCE. An archaeological survey focusing on the early Neolithic period was this year undertaken by the Universities of Cyprus and Toronto, with promising results. The project investigated a lithic scatter site located between the villages of Limbia and Agrokipia and established that hunters and food gatherers covered long distances in search of subsistence. In all, 11 such sites as well as 14 chert sources were investigated, yielding some 11,000 chipped stone and ground artefacts. The project has identified a handful of promising very early sites with unique concentrations of stone fragments clearly distinct from chipped and ground stone industries documented at known aceramic Neolithic sites. Three major chert quarries exploited in prehistory were also studied, providing the first evidence of early stone tool manufacture centres on the island. The investigation of such stone tool quarries in relation to the habitation activity sites has begun to provide detailed knowledge of how early hunter-gatherers may have foraged across the Cypriot landscape. A fragment of a stone bracelet made of picrolite was discovered at the Politico 20 kilometres south of Nicosia on a small hilltop site where foragers were apparently engaged in cutting wild cereals, judging from the presence also of the remains of a stone sickle made of a non-local stone. The picrolite, a semi-precious stone, is found only in the Kouros River near Limassol, while the stone sickle was probably manufactured using stone from the Alhambra area some 15 kilometres distant. Other evidence showing the apparently temporary nature of the sites investigated includes the lack of visible stone architecture. Significant numbers of stone grounding tools and a number of stone axes at these sites suggest that the makers of the tools were foragers exploiting a wild variety of plants and animal resources prior to the advent of farming on the island around 8,200, as is now currently understood. A find of some note was the presence of complete and broken arrowheads in the chipped stone collection of Aya Varvara, Asprocremos, that are currently unique on the island. They demonstrate a focus on hunting as an element of the subsistence strategy at this site and provide new evidence connections with the Middle East mainland during the remote past. Perhaps most exciting is the information that his new evidence provides for the investigations of the origins of farming. Already it is known that agriculture began very early on the island in relation to the traditional cradles of early farming in the Fertile Crescent of the Middle East. By documenting evidence of early hunter-gatherers prior to this advent, experts will begin to understand how and why agriculture began on this island and the role Cyprus had to play in the Neolithic Revolution across the rest of the Near East. Campaigners have strongly criticised the way archaeological work has been carried out at a proposed quarry site close to the 5,000-year-old Thornborough Henges in North Yorkshire, England. The latest row comes after a second dig was undertaken recently at the Ladybridge Farm site, where quarry firm Tarmac wants to extract sand and gravel to evaluate further its archaeological importance. But the Friends of Thornborough claim finds have been lost or destroyed in the process. Speaking on behalf of this group, Mike Sanders said that the investigation went ahead in wet weather conditions, which was detrimental to the important archaeological site. The topsoil was mechanically stripped with quarry diggers and all subsoil features excavated by hand in atrocious wet weather. Only a fraction of the soil was subjected to the careful sieving necessary to identify 5,000-year-old remains from the Stone Age. Unsurprisingly, few fragile remains were found, and English Heritage continues to maintain that the preservation of the remaining setting of the henges is of national importance. Mr. Sanders said that the county archaeologist Neil Campling went against the agreed strategy to preserve the finds on site. In a departure from the agreed strategy that required any finds to be preserved in situ, he authorised the complete excavation of the early prehistoric features. English Heritage said this week that Tarmac's recent study confirms their belief that the site should be preserved. English Heritage confirms that the area contains nationally important early prehistoric remains, which should be preserved, and we await Tarmac's proposals. Mr. Campling said the council has not yet received the further evaluation report from Tarmac, and in response to criticism from the Friends of Thornborough, he said that their information was entirely factually incorrect. Mr. Campling said, "They say that the archaeology was destroyed, but it wasn't. If it had been fully recorded and the finds recovered and saved from further loss of plough damage. There is a big difference between loss without recording and scientific investigation. The weather, although unpleasant, was not a serious problem, especially given the sandy soil. Almost all the archaeology is carried out under less than ideal conditions. We don't want to inflame the situation. We're trying to move this forward and develop a management strategy for the landscape around the henges, creating a low-key visitor centre and securing the long-term future for the henges and nearby monuments." North Yorkshire County Council is due to make a decision on Tarmac's application to quarry the Ladybridge Farm site in February. You can also read the site diary at www.archaeologicalplanningconsultancy.co.uk and then click Nosterfield on the left-hand menu. Excavations at a ruined city on the plains of northeastern Syria have turned up the oldest known examples of large-scale warfare. A massive campaign that pummeled the city into submission at the dawn of civilization more than 5,500 years ago, researchers say. The discovery of the devastated remains of the ancient trading centre suggests that the urge to attack and conquer cities is as old and basic as the need to build them. The siege and destruction of the site, now known as Tel Hamukar, was apparently an early step by Uruk, an ancient Mesopotamian city-state, to establish the world's earliest colonial system. The people of Uruk were establishing colonies 400 to 600 miles away from their own city. The Tel Hamukar site was discovered in 1999 by a joint US-Syrian team led by archaeologist Maguire Gibson of the Oriental Institute. Tel Hamukar was at least as old as the better-known cities of Mesopotamia. Its discovery indicated that civilizations were already thriving this early in history, and the idea of cities had evolved independently among several groups of people. Those people had first settled in the area much earlier, around 9,000 BCE. That was about 2,500 years before the first settlements in China and 6,000 years before the first ones in Western Europe. The people of Uruk dominated the region for at least 2,000 years, eventually giving way to the Babylonians and then the Assyrians. Located about 5 miles from the Iraqi border, Tel Hamukar had all the traits now associated with cities, including city walls, communal food production, breweries and bureaucracy. The settlement was unusual, however, for having no recognisable waterway nearby. Virtually all other cities from the early periods were located on the banks of rivers. Gibson's team speculated that the city was founded to service a crucial trade route from the ancient city of Nineveh, 60 miles to the northeast, and to the Mediterranean Sea, and that it became prosperous doing so. The team found more than 1,200 intact clay bullets up to 1 inch in diameter, and about 120 larger balls about 4 inches in diameter, along with a large number of shattered balls. The purpose was initially a mystery, but researchers soon noticed that many of them had been flattened on one side by impact with a solid object. The flattened sides bore characteristic impressions from the plastered walls of the buildings, suggesting that they were still damp when used. Both varieties would have been propelled by slings, with the smaller bullets directed against people and the larger ones aimed at walls and buildings. Pottery and other artifacts in the buildings were from the local culture, dating from the late Stone Age. The picture of the battle is still largely incomplete and will probably remain so, as we do not know how many people were involved and how it took place. But it was probably a short battle because everything was left in place. The team is also not sure who attacked the city, The excavation of the soil directly above the ruins revealed caches of pottery shards and other artefacts from Uruk itself. For the first time, a grave in which two twins were buried was unearthed during archaeological excavations in the historical site of Burnt City in Iran. Burnt City Historical Site, situated in Sistan in Balochistan province of southeast Iran, is one of the most important prehistoric sites of the country. 8 seasons of archaeological excavations in the site indicate that Burnt City was an important centre of civilization and trade some 5,000 years ago. During the latest excavations in this historical site, they were able to unearth several graves and to discover the skeletal remains of infant twins who were buried alongside each other. The evidence indicates that most probably the two infants were twins. Since infants are still in a fetal position, they must have been immature babies, dying before their birth. Archaeologists are determined to carry out excavations in a 1,000-square-metre area on the central part of the cemetery during the 9th season of excavations in the Burnt City next year. There have been a number of archaeological discoveries along the routes of the proposed new sections of the M7-M8 motorways in Ireland. Last week, the National Roads Authority released a booklet on the finds. The sites date from the Neolithic period and extend through to the Bronze Age and Iron Age, spanning a period between 4000 BCE and 500 CE. The booklet states that during testing in Partnahown townland, a quantity of prehistoric pottery dating from the Neolithic period was revealed. The pottery has been placed in a small pit and several other small pits or postholes in close proximity, and they have been fully excavated. While these pits do not appear to form a structure, they may have been part of a settlement, or more likely a ritual site during the Neolithic, when the first farmers in Ireland put down their roots and made their mark on the Irish landscape. Within the early medieval ring fort at Deren Salach, a quantity of flints and pottery dating from the Neolithic period were revealed, suggesting that this medieval site had much earlier beginnings in the prehistoric period. At Shanbo, a series of burnt mounds of stone, together with pits, troughs and stake holes, and a possible structure have also been excavated. An existing roadway at Deren Salach cuts a newly found ring fort in half. In this area, a corn-drying kiln has also been uncovered. It appears as though the kiln was rebuilt on at least 3 occasions. The kiln still retained cereal grains, which will be the subject of environmental analysis. Other materials found during the dig were a flint knife, zoomorphic penannular brooch, decorated bone comb, Bronze Age pottery, and arrowheads. To the west of Ilkley, overlooking the Wharfe Valley in England, vandals have used white paint to circle the late Bronze Age design of the swastika stone, perhaps the best known prehistoric site in the area. Spiked railings are not enough to protect it, it seems. The pattern of abuse and neglect continues in rock art all over Ilkley Moor. According to Heritage Action Group, action must be taken before these fragile sites are lost forever, like Braddock Stone Circle that lay just 3 kilometres southwest of the Twelve Apostles but is now completely gone, or Weecher Stone Circle, roughly the same distance to the southeast, which was removed at the turn of the 20th century. During the archaeological excavations in the historical site of Kole Darvish Tepe in Qom, a temple and brazier dating back to the Iron Age have been unearthed, which are believed to be the most ancient ones in the central plateau of Iran. The brazier has a hole inside in which the remains of ashes can still be seen. Kole Darvish Historical Tepe is one of the most important sites in the central plateau belonging to the Iron Age, located on the way of Qom-Jamkaran Highway. The construction of a highway resulted in the destruction of more than 40 hectares of the 50-hectare site of Kole Darvish Tepe, and the height of the hill was reduced to 6 metres, while once it stood more than 30 metres high. Archaeological excavations at the site indicate that residency in Qom dates back to the 4th millennium BCE. After studying the upper layers of Kole Darvish Tepe, some parts were removed in order for the archaeologists to gain access to the lower layers. During that process, they surprisingly discovered the remains of a temple alongside a brazier made of clay. The temple dates back to 3,300 years ago and is made of adobe mortar with a stucco-covered masonry. The temple consists of several earthen platforms with a square, flat-shaped brazier made of clay in the centre. The evidence indicates that the brazier was broken in the past and was later repaired with stucco. The raised clay platforms are found in the east and western sides of the area. The remains of a staircase made of adobe belonging to the Iron Age has been found on the eastern platform. 2.5 stairs have remained, and the rest have sadly been destroyed by bulldozers. According to the archaeological evidence, a large part of the temple had remained intact before highway construction. Thick-skinned bottle gourds, widely used as containers by prehistoric peoples, were likely brought to the Americas some 10,000 years ago by individuals who arrived from Asia, according to a new genetic comparison of modern bottle gourds with gourds found at archaeological sites in the Western Hemisphere. The finding solves a long-standing archaeological enigma by explaining how a domesticated variant of a species native to Africa ended up a millennium ago as far removed as modern-day Florida, Kentucky, Mexico, and Peru. The work by a team of anthropologists and biologists from Harvard University, the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History, and Massey University in New Zealand, and the University of Maine, appears this week on the website of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Integrating genetics and archaeology, the researchers assembled a collection of ancient remnants of bottle gourds from across the Americas. They then identified key genetic markers from the DNA of both the ancient gourds and their modern counterparts in Asia and Africa, before comparing the plant's genetic makeup to determine the origins of the New World gourds. For 150 years, the dominant theory has been that bottle gourds, which are quite buoyant and have no known wild progenitors in the Americas, floated across the Atlantic Ocean from Africa and were picked up and used as containers by people here. Much to their surprise, they found that in every case the gourds found in the Americas were a genetic match with modern gourds found in Asia, not Africa. This suggests quite strongly that the gourds were used as containers in the Americas for thousands of years before the advent of pottery was brought from Asia. Thought to have originated in Africa, bottle gourds have been grown widespread worldwide for thousands of years. The gourds have little food value, but their strong, hard-shelled fruits were long prized as containers, musical instruments, and fishing floats. This lightweight container crop would have been particularly useful to human societies before the advent of pottery and settled village life, and was apparently domesticated thousands of years before any other plant was domesticated for food purposes. Radiocarbon dating indicates that bottle gourds were present in the Americas by 10,000 years ago and widespread by 8,000. Some of the specimens studied by the team were not only the oldest bottle gourds ever found, but also quite possibly the oldest plant DNA ever analysed. The newest of their archaeological samples, a specimen found in Kentucky, was just 1,000 years old, suggesting that gourds were used in the New World as containers for at least 9,000 years. A 10-year study of ancient human skulls from Brazil provides new evidence that two distinct populations of prehistoric people settled the Americas more than 12,000 years ago, a finding that raises new questions about the identity and origins of the first Americans. Brazilian researchers say physical features of the skulls excavated from several limestone caves near Lagoa Santa in central Brazil differ sharply from the ancestors of today's Native Americans, who are thought to have migrated from Siberia to North America at the end of the last ice age. These earliest South Americans tend to be more similar to present-day Australians, Melanesians, and even sub-Saharan Africans. Brazilian anthropologist Walter Neves reported Monday in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that the findings suggest a complex scenario in regards to the influx of humans to the New World, but he skirted controversial new theories that the first people to reach the Americas came by boat from Asia, the South Pacific, or perhaps even Europe, rather than crossing a land bridge spanning the Bering Straits, as most archaeologists believe. No transoceanic migration is necessary to explain our findings, he said. Instead, he said that the South American population might have come by the same route used by the ancestors of modern Native Americans. The age of the Lagoa Santa skulls does not clearly establish which of the two populations entered the Americas first or when, but Neves said that it's plausible to think that the South American population arrived first and then moved or was pushed southward by the Asian ancestors of present-day Native Americans, whose genetic makeup and linguistic patterns today are dominant in both continents' native people. Some genetic studies comparing ancient remains and modern humans have suggested there might have been anywhere from 1 to 4 separate migrations of prehistoric people to the Americas. Human skeletal remains older than 8,000 years are rare in the Americas, but isolated examples of skulls with seemingly un-Asian features have been found and reported in Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Florida, and California. but the analysis by Neves of the University of São Paulo's Laboratory of Human Evolution and his colleague Mark Hubb is the first to look comprehensively at a large number of remains from a single location. Neves said, "Individual skulls may vary widely, but in the aggregate, the 81 South American skulls show a clear pattern that differs markedly from the features of modern Native Americans." He says today's Native Americans and their ancestors have narrow and long skulls, squarish jaws, and relatively high noses and eye sockets. The South American skulls tend to have short and wide skulls, jutting jaws, and relatively low noses and eye sockets. Parts of an Iron Age hill fort in England are to be closed to the public while essential repair work is carried out. About £40,000 is to be spent repairing badly eroded ramparts at Danebury Hill Fort near Stockbridge, Hampshire. Parts of the fort, which sees between 70 to 100,000 visitors a year, will be temporarily closed as the 4 months of work is carried out. The overall site will still remain open and the repairs are expected to be completed by mid-March. The work will see steps replaced, as well as repairs to the ramparts, which have become badly worn because of the numbers of visitors to the site. Councillor Margaret Snaith, Hampshire County Council's Executive Member for Heritage, said, "These works are essential to slow down the process of erosion and to protect the future of this 2,000-year-old national monument." News has just come in that the German archaeologist Susanne Osthoff was released on Sunday the 18th of December, which is a wonderful outcome, and I'd like to thank many, many people who supported her by signing the petition. Our prayers now go out to those who are still held in Iraq. And finally, the Stone Pages Badger Archaeology News podcast has now risen to number 5 in the Apple download charts for science. Many thanks for listening, and also to Dave Horrocks for his work in remastering these files for MP3 format. Don't forget, though, that many archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK-wide heritage calendar, library section, and UK heritage courses index, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And a lot more can be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope that you'll return again next week.